Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me here today at the Rath Building. As we've said repeatedly for some time now, we are all disgusted by what we saw in Minneapolis with the death of George Floyd at the hands of the Minneapolis Police Department. I previously called for the officers to be charged, and while one officer has been charged with a third-degree murder crime, we still know that other officers, I believe, do need to be charged for at least their omission that led to the death of Mr. Floyd. But we also, as a community, as a country, are disgusted by the violence and the looting that we've seen. It is a basic tenet of the United States Constitution that people have the ability to peaceably protest, to file a grievance against their government. And we all support that. And I support the ability of anyone to have a peaceable protest. And yesterday, the vast majority of the day was a peaceable protest. Yesterday, we had no intelligence to indicate that there was going to be a risk to the general community as a result of violence or looting. And as such, there was no curfew that was put in place after discussing with state and other local law enforcement, as well as our Erie County Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, the Erie County Department of Central Police Services, and the Erie County Sheriff's Office. And through the vast majority of yesterday, there was a peaceful protest that walked through the city of Buffalo, but ended in the city of Buffalo on Bailey Avenue in front of the B District. And of course, we all know what happened after that. The protest, while it may have broken up, some stayed behind. It was no longer peaceful. Rocks and other things were thrown at the police. The police broke up the remaining individuals, arrested some. And then, of course, there was the unfortunate incident of a car driving through, a heinous act, really, driving through police officers and striking three individuals. Last night we thought it was two. Of course, we now know it was three. Two troopers from the New York State Police, two have been identified. Ronald Ensminger Jr. is the one who was more seriously injured. It's my understanding that Trooper Ensminger actually is an Erie County resident that lives in the town of Clarence, but works out of Batavia Troop Station for the New York State Troopers. And our thoughts are certainly with Trooper Ensminger on what was a very horrific injury. I've seen the videos. I know they haven't all been shown on television, but I've seen the videos where he was run over, as well as Trooper Randall Schenefeld, who suffered, thankfully, not as serious an injury as Trooper Ensminger. And I do not know the name of the Buffalo police officer who was injured, and I apologize to him. But we do have our thoughts and prayers are with all the officers. Being a police officer is a very difficult job, as was proven again last night. And the vast majority of police officers do so honorably, in which they do honor their pledge when they become an officer to serve and protect the greater community. And so I want to thank the police officers who do serve our community honorably. And I want to thank the individuals who protest peacefully. There were many individuals over the last few days in our community who have protested peacefully, and there are some who have not. And as we saw yesterday, there were people who did not. And unfortunately, it appears that almost all those people were from our own community. We talked about outside agitators and what occurred on Saturday. Well, we don't really have any indication that there were outside agitators yesterday. These were people from our own community, and it's distressing to see that. Based on the conversations I had with the mayor late last night, it was decided to impose a curfew in the city of Buffalo through the remainder of this week. Earlier this morning, I had conversations with Mayor Iafallo from the city of Lackawanna, and Supervisor Joe Eminger from the town of Wanda, Brian Culpa from the town of Amherst, Diane Benchkowski from the town of Cheektowaga, and Gary Dixon from the town of West Seneca. And based on the concerns that we have of additional violence, we're not concerned about peaceful protests, we're concerned about violence, it was decided that the curfew would also include for today those communities from 8 p.m. till 5 a.m. in the morning. Afterwards, I had a conversation specifically with Lackawanna Mayor Annette Iafallo, and she indicated to me that yesterday a Lackawanna sanitation officer was shot at. It was believed it was a 22. They were shot at twice. It turned out to be a pellet, and one of the pellets struck the sanitation worker, and the sanitation worker was taken to ECMC to deal with the wounds, which thankfully are not life-threatening, and expect full recovery. But something bad's going on in the community when even sanitation workers are getting shot at by individuals in our community. So following the discussion with Mayor Iafallo and the other supervisors, we decided to have a conversation with the other supervisors and mayors from Erie County. And it was unanimously agreed by all on the call from urban, suburban, and rural sites that the curfew should be extended for the entire county. So there is tonight, effective at 8 p.m. through 5 a.m., a curfew in all of Erie County. Essential workers are able to travel to and from work. Individuals who are arriving at the airport on flights are available to go home. But we ask individuals to have ID if you are going to and from work as an essential worker. And we ask other individuals to stay off the streets. And people are wondering, why do we include also rural communities? Well, the conversations I had with the leaders of supervisors and towns of these communities indicated to me that not only did they want to show their support for the rest of the community, but many of their law enforcement personnel are assisting other communities at this time. The inner ring suburbs are assisting the city of Buffalo. Suburban and outer ring suburbs, as well as rural communities, are assisting to cover for the shortage that now exists in the other communities, like Cheektowaga and Amherst. So their police officers that might normally be in the town of Evans or the town of North Collins are assisting in Cheektowaga, in Lackawanna, and Amherst. So based on their discussion and my communication with them, it was decided that this should be a countywide curfew. And I thank them for agreeing that we are all in this together. Just like we are all in this together with regards to responding to COVID-19. And we are all in this together to address injustices that we see, including police brutality. I am very proud to say the three cities and the 25 towns and the villages of Erie County have united together to say we do not want to see further violence in our community. We also do not want to see racial injustice stand. We want to stand up to it. We want to say not in our community, but we need to do this together. So I thank those individuals, the supervisors and mayors who agreed that the curfew should be extended through the entire county, even though I know some people are probably thinking, why are there curfews in some of our rural communities? Well, some of those rural communities are offering police assistance to the inner rings or even the city of Buffalo, and they felt it was appropriate to have a curfew through the whole county to address what we saw last night and two nights ago. I had no intention of continuing curfews. As I said yesterday, the hope was that the night before was the last night we had to do a curfew. We had no intelligence to indicate that there were significant issues out there. And then we know what happened last night. And then I was informed by Mayor Iafallo about the shooting of at least a pellet gun at a sanitation worker, one of those pellets striking the sanitation worker who was taken to ECMC. I, like everyone else, is disgusted with the violence. Peacefully protest. Show your anger to government by letting us know through your voice, through your words, but not through rocks, not by attacking police, by not putting people in harm's way. And as we know now, there was a significant incident last night, and there was a state trooper who suffered serious injuries, and then the three individuals in the vehicle, two of them were shot. This should not happen in our community today. This should not happen in our country. We need to come together to address the injustices that exist and say not only are they wrong, but to stop them and put in place the measures that ensure that they're stopped. But we cannot stand by and say it is okay to enact in violence. It is okay to destroy the hard work of so many people who worked very hard for a small business and then see it destroyed overnight. That is unacceptable. That is not who we are as Americans. When we see injustice, we stand up to it. And we come together united, regardless of the races, regardless of whether we live in an urban environment or a suburban environment, or in our country, in rural areas. We have to unite together to do what's right for our entire community, entire country. And I believe the vast majority, when I say vast majority, 99.99999% of the people stand united to do that. And there are a few who do not. So together, we can eliminate racial injustices, whether it's police brutality or the other things as a result of systemic racism that face our society. And I know working together, we will do that. What we had been advised is that there would be a peaceful protest in Niagara Square. And knowing some of the individuals who were engaged in that protest, I thought it would be safe. The former chairwoman of the Erie County Legislature, Betty Jean Grant, was one of the speakers. And I had spoken to and communicated with Betty Jean beforehand, including the day before, and she said, none of us want the violence. We just want to talk about what we need to do to address the injustices. I think what happened is they left Niagara Square, and as they went through the city of Buffalo, more and more people became involved, including young, who were riding along on bikes and so forth. So it started as a peaceful protest, and what continued for quite some time as a peaceful protest ended in a situation that was definitely a much more riskier one than being at Niagara Square by putting and ending it in front of the police district on Bailey Avenue. The information that we had from the individuals who were participating in the initial protest at 3 o'clock is it was a peaceful protest. Let me add, I spoke to Mike Copey, the Commissioner of Emergency Services and Homeland Security for New York State, yesterday and today. Mike Copey was at the protest yesterday. He left because he believed it was a peaceful protest. And we all thought that this was going to be a good day. And then we heard the issues about them marching, which in itself is not a bad thing. But marching for 4.5 hours and going in front of the police district and then leaving when you had brought in all these individuals who truthfully had anger on their minds was not probably the most responsible thing for those protest leaders to do. We have to protest, but we also have to do it in a responsible manner. And what unfortunately happened last night, I'm wishing we had done a curfew last night. Would it have ended and changed things? I don't know, because even on the days in which we had the curfews out, there were people who were still out on the streets. So just because we have a curfew does not indicate that people are acting appropriately. And what I have since learned, and I've been told, I would think it would be better if it was confirmed by Buffalo PD, and maybe they have done it, I don't know, is that the individuals who were driving that vehicle were under the influence of something. So I don't think people who are under the influence of anything really care about a curfew because they're not in a state of right mind, but that doesn't stop them from, or doesn't hold them harmless for what they did. They need to be held accountable for what they did. Based on what happened last night, information that we have that there may be additional protests across the county. Supervisor Whitney from Grand Island had indicated to me that they were hearing there was going to be a protest on Grand Island. And he indicated that if we didn't do countywide, he wanted it in the town of Grand Island, a curfew as well. We had heard from other supervisors and village mayors that they were hearing that people were going to protest in their community. Is it real? It's on social media. You don't know. But you got to look at it and then take it seriously. So the information we had indicated that it was going to be a peaceful afternoon. And for most of the day, it was. I was getting information from the Erie County Sheriff's Office, and Erie County Department of Homeland Security, and Erie County Central Police Services, and it kept on, and the mayor. The mayor and I were communicating as well. And the information that I received is it's peaceful, it's peaceful, it's peaceful, it's peaceful. And then around 9:30, I heard it's not so peaceful anymore. Now they're throwing rocks. Now the police are separating them and making arrests. And then, of course, my phone blew up, like I'm sure everyone else's, when we heard that officers were down and shots were fired. And the first thought was there were shots that were fired at officers. And then we found out afterwards the officers were not shot at. They were struck by a vehicle. Hindsight is 20/20, and we're not taking any chances today. Well, it is the local police departments that are up to enforcement. And one of the things I am actually concerned about, and I spoke with other leaders today, is racial profiling. If an individual is driving through Tonawanda because they got to go to work at GM at 11 o'clock, and they're African-American, are they more likely to get pulled over than a white individual? And the answer, I hope, is no, but I also have to be realistic that that often does occur, and it shouldn't. So individuals who have a legitimate reason to be on the road, they're essential workers and they're going to workplaces, you're returning, as we had asked by some people, they're flying into Buffalo Niagara Airport at 9:30 tonight. Does that mean they're stuck at the airport? And the answer is no, but they need to have proper identification. And if they do get pulled over by police, indicate why they are out. And I think it's very important that the police do enforce curfews in this situation. And in the individuals who are showing signs that they may be engaging in criminal behavior, well, they've got to be taken. They got to be first sent home. They're not engaging in criminal behavior. And if they are engaging in criminal behavior, they should be held responsible for it. I don't have any indication of checkpoints, but that could happen in some of the towns. They don't, as you often know, we don't say if we have a checkpoint where it's going to be. So the town, village, and city police could do that. I think more often what you'll see tonight is not checkpoints, but actual lots of law enforcement on the road to show that there is a police presence. There will not be National Guard. Some people have asked. There will not be National Guard. The state has indicated to me that they will be bringing in additional state troopers, but there will not be a National Guard at this point, but you will see a heavy police presence on the roads throughout, in all likelihood, all of Erie County, including some of the rural areas. I was just on a conference call with a number of faith-based leaders and others in regards to trying to send the message out that we're not telling people, please don't protest. But if you do it, it's got to be peaceful. We have a tinderbox not only in our community, but in our nation right now. All we can see is what's going on across the country, and realizing it doesn't take a whole lot for a spark to ignite an explosion. And our goal is to say to folks, as I said, I mean, the First Amendment right of free speech and to peaceably assemble is one of the most important rights we have. And we don't want people to realize and think that we're stopping them from peaceably assembling or peaceably expressing their displeasure. But when it takes that next step and it becomes violent, when rocks, bricks, and other things, bottles are being thrown at police officers, that is no longer a peaceable assembly. And we and talking to those faith-based leaders, they all agree. They are trying to get the message out to members of the community. There are problems that need to be fixed. There are racial injustices that still need to be resolved. None of us have denied that. I've said that myself for some time now. That's why we have a number of the programs that we do, including poverty programs to address what we believe to be racial injustices, or our Live Well Erie program, which is to address the problems that exist that often affect individuals at the lowest rung of the financial ladder, so to speak, so that they can lift themselves up out of abject poverty and deal with the problems that they dealt with so they can have better lives. So we've been trying to deal with it locally, but there's more that needs to be done. Our community, just this earlier this year, I signed into law the Erie County Community Advocacy Resources Board to address some of the issues with regards to our sheriff's office. And the sheriff and his office worked with us to and community activists to do that. So we're trying to address a lot of these issues. But the message I send to activists is, I will never know what you feel and go through as a young African-American male or female. I will never understand as a 52-year-old white male, what my counterparts that are 52-year-old African-Americans had to go through in their life. And I grew up with lots of these people in Lackawanna, which was a very diverse community. As I've said many times before, in my class, I had friends. They weren't African-American friends. They weren't Yemeni Muslim friends. They were friends because we were all in the same boat together. But I will never understand the things that they had to go through. I never had to have my father or mother have that talk with me about what happens if you get pulled over by a police officer that they all had. So there's injustices we need to deal with. We just have to do it in such a manner where we work together to do that. Because what happens when you have violence is it ends up causing disunity. And as former President Obama noted, and truthfully, Vice President Biden noted today, we have to be united to address these issues. But violence is not the answer that is going to solve it. It's uniting together, like young activists and semi-old guys like me, who feel that we cannot stand for this, and the only way to effectuate the change is to do it together. We hear their voices. They have legitimate complaints. They have to be addressed, but they can't be addressed by a bottle or a rock or a brick that's being thrown through the air. They have to be addressed together. Part of the problem we're dealing with, Sandy, is you hear of a protest, but you don't know who's organizing it. And yesterday, we had early heard that it was Carrie Elhorn, and I heard that Betty Jean Grant was going to be involved in others, and we were like, okay, so we know who those individuals are. And they have a track record of peacefully protesting. The problem wasn't the people downtown in Niagara Square. It's what happened when the 16-year-old kids on bikes started riding in. And very angry individuals started walking up and joining them. And I understand why they're angry. I was angry. I was disgusted. I was sick to my stomach, basically, watching that video of George Floyd's death. And I felt I needed to do it. And I wrote about it because we all have a responsibility as Americans to address racial injustice when we see it. And I still don't understand what the heck was going through that police officer's head that he felt it was necessary to have his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for 9 minutes, and then to find out that the other officers were kneeling on his back and his legs for almost as long. That is not what is trained in the police academies. And their anger is real, and the issues they deal with are real. We just ask them to understand that if we're to do this together, we have to do it together, and we cannot cause further dissension in our community and our country. And that starts from the lowest level activist to the highest individual in this land, including the President of the United States. We all have a responsibility. And we all, depending on what we do, can offer the hand of peace or can throw a match and light that tinderbox. And it's responsible for all of us to put the hand forth of peace, to not throw the match and create greater harm, whether it's myself, members of the media, or the President of the United States. We are going to take a look at this on a day-to-day basis. So we will see what happens tonight. We will get reports from the field, not only in the city of Buffalo, but elsewhere. As you remember, two nights ago, we had an issue that it was not when we talked about what we were seeing. We did see issues, unfortunately, with break-ins at targets and target or targets and target. Targets were a target, and the town of Cheektowaga, the town of Amherst, and then the town of Orchard Park, and it appears that these were the same individuals that were hitting up. But just because there was all those individuals doesn't mean that there's other ones who might not look at this as an opportunity to, if not foment anger, to loot, to cause violence. And so for now, we will analyze what the data. We will continue to receive information from law enforcement on both the local and state level, and for that matter, the federal level, because the federal level has been also insisting, and make a determination as to what is appropriate for tomorrow night. As of right now, I think everyone understands the mayor has implemented a curfew solely for the city of Buffalo from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. I agreed I would include, and we talked last night, the city of Buffalo in any curfew I issued, and we did. But the mayor's is through Sunday. The remainder of the communities is just for tonight, and if we have to revisit it and redo it tomorrow, we will. And if we have to do it on Thursday, we will. Though, as I said before, I do not take any pride in doing this. I do not take any pleasure. And there's some folks out there who are saying, oh, you enjoy this, Mark Poloncarz, don't you? And the answer is no. Today is the day in which we reopen for phase two. There are barbershops and stylists and barbers and stylists who now are actually out there. I need a haircut. I want to get back to normal life. I like to go golfing with my buddies. I want to play hockey again with my friends. We haven't played hockey in ages, and all we talk about is what that first day is going to be like on the ice. And we all talk about how out of shape we're going to be. I want to get back to normalcy. We have to do what's right for COVID-19, and we have to do what's right to protect our community. Our first responsibility is to protect the health and welfare of our community, their safety. And so if we have to continue the curfew for additional evenings, we will. But I'm not going to just do it in a blanket statement if it's not necessary. And what I did today, I'll do tomorrow. We will talk to the town supervisors, the village mayors, and the city mayors, Mayor Iafallo, Mayor Davis out of the city of Tonawanda. And we will hear from them as to what they're seeing in their community and what they're hearing. I mean, I've seen the post on social media for the individuals who are like, well, if they come to my community, all I can tell them is I'm locked and loaded. That's not what we want. We don't want people to think that they have to protect their home by shooting at people who are nearby, because what ends up happening are innocent people get shot. So I'm going to talk with our local mayors and supervisors, as well as the mayor of Buffalo, through the next few days to determine what is appropriate as we move forward. And hopefully, tonight's the last night. I said that before, it wasn't. But I'm not going to just do a blanket statement and say we're done. We're going to take this on a day-by-day basis. Yes? Ooh. Yes. Yes. Yesterday was pretty quiet. I was sitting at home watching Avengers Age of Ultron while texting on the phone. And I've seen that movie lots of times, but I like it. And I watch it again. And then I started getting calls and text messages, Mark, it's going bad, from Sheriff's Office, Central Police Services, Emergency Services, and the mayor. And in just a rapid period of time, it went from a peaceful protest to a not-so-peaceful protest to then receiving reports that shots fired, officers down. And that's you're just thinking to yourself, oh, my God, this is the worst thing possible that could happen. And it was a bad thing possible that happened, which was maybe not officers were down because of shots, but officers were down because they were struck by a vehicle, which is just as bad. And then I got people sending me the actual videos that were on Twitter. And I'm watching an officer get run over and others get struck. I mean, it's sickening. And to think that based on the information I have, and I'm sure Buffalo Police will confirm, it may have been an intentional act. Those people need to be held responsible. I don't care if they were under the influence or not. That does not offer you the ability to waive your actions. And whoever shot at the sanitation worker in the city of Lackawanna, even if it's a pellet gun, you could hit somebody in the eye, in their eye, but you could hit them in the throat. You could hit them in the carotid artery. They could die. That crime needs to be prosecuted as a crime. This is not joking around. These are people's lives at risk, and we need to do what's right to protect our law enforcement, to protect our citizens, while at the same time protecting the right of individuals to peaceably grieve their country, grieve their county, grieve their state in a peaceable protest. Michael. What is open now are offices. If you see downtown, there's a lot more traffic in downtown. There's a lot of offices have opened, law firms, accounting firms. Real estate is open. Now the offices are open at a smaller percentage, about 50%, but they're not open at 100%. They have guidelines they have to follow. We also have barber shops and beauty parlors that are open. And of course, everything in phase one is still open. Bars and restaurants are not open at this time. They do not open until phase three, though they can still be open for delivery or curbside pickup. Retail is open at a lessened capacity. So it is possible today you could go and see your favorite store is now open after having been closed for months. So you could walk in. However, it is at a lower capacity. So if they have, if they're at their 50% capacity, they can't allow more people in the store. I know retail is open. Some retailers have remained closed until such time they feel it's they can have more people allowed into their store. But I think you'll also find out a lot of retails, if they didn't open today, they'll open tomorrow. And what I tell all our folks locally is go shopping in a safe method. I have it here. Wear your masks. If you can't socially distant, we are socially distant from you. I'm socially distant from you. That's why I do not have a mask on. But do so in a socially distant manner, in a safe manner, wearing your masks. Let's continue to invest in our community, support our local businesses, support our small businesses that have been hurting tremendously, and we will all be better for it. And then hopefully in 2 weeks, we'll then move into phase three. Who knows what's going to happen after all these protests? I don't know. But I hope, and I do have the most recent numbers. They weren't published because we were dealing with everything associated with the violence last night. But the numbers continue to go down, and that's a good thing. Thousands for Western New York. I don't have the exact number. It's constantly changing. I would suggest, Michael, you contact Empire State Development here. They have the most up-to-date list. They're sharing it with us. But I know thousands have actually filed affirmations, including those who they filed them last week for phase two under the thought that they were going to reopen today. So they did what they needed to do. And we've heard that some businesses that are in phase three have already put together their safety plans and filed their affirmations. The first question is, what impact do I believe the protests and everything else are having on coronavirus cases? I really can't answer that question. I don't know, and we won't know for a few days because if we start to see hospitalization numbers go up or our actual infection rate go up, then I'll say it did have an impact. I won't know until that. We'll first know basically on infection rate. Our infection numbers have been really steadily dropping. We've been testing more people, sometimes more than 1,000 per day. But what we've seen is the number of positives have gone down. And I'm not talking about the antibody test, I'm talking about the PCR test. If those numbers start to trend up, then I'll have to say that maybe this had an impact. If hospitalizations trend up, I'll say it has an impact. But thankfully the trend most recently has been better. So we're headed in the right direction. And then the second question was, since the tenure of my administration, where do we stand now? We were commenting earlier today that I thought I had seen it all. I've done with superstorms, blizzards, floods, tornadoes. Then this year we had a pandemic, and we had an earthquake, even if it was a mild one. And now we have just terrible violence, looting, mini riots, so to speak. But the one thing that still heartens me, and why I think this community is strong, is the day after the breaking of the windows and the violence and the looting in the city of Buffalo, people from all over our region came to help clean up. And then this morning, I read of people who came from all across this region to help clean up on Bailey Avenue and the other businesses that were affected. People don't need to do that. They can just stay home and say, it's not my problem, but they said, I want to help out somebody in their time of need. So, yeah, we've got some troubles right now. And it's just not our region, it's the whole country. We're facing a significant deficit. But I talk to my colleagues in Nevada, I talk to my colleagues in Kentucky, I talk to my colleagues in Alabama, they're facing significant deficits from loss of revenue. We're facing a global pandemic. It seems to be getting better, but it's only going to continue to get better if we follow the smart social distancing guidelines and wear our masks. If we're out there, 1,000 people protesting not wearing your masks, I guarantee you someone's going to end up contracting coronavirus just based on the numbers of how many people we think in the community have it, around 7%. Doesn't take a genius. If you got 100 people, there's 7 of them that probably had the coronavirus or have it currently. If you have 1,000, there's 70. And that can be spread to other people. So I'd like to, people ask you, Mark, are you positive or negative? Are you glass half full, glass half empty? And I like to keep a positive attitude, but be a realist and realize that there are problems that we have to address. We cannot stick our head in the sand like an ostrich and hope it disappears. We have to address them. But most people are very, very good and have goodness at heart. And there are some people who are not good. And it doesn't matter the race, doesn't matter where they live, because evil resides everywhere. But goodness is so much more. And goodness and love are so much greater than evil. And that's why I am heartened that while there are some bad things that are happening, I also look at the good things, the responses from our community, and realize we will get through this. We just need to get through it as quickly as possible and in the most peaceful method as possible, and do it in such a manner that those that feel afflicted do not feel like they are shunned, that their issues are addressed and their issues are resolved. One more question. Yes, and it's not just Buffalo General, it's also ambulatory centers. And I have repeatedly expressed that this is having a negative impact on the health of our citizens. Those that, if you think about it, 3 months ago were scheduled for a colonoscopy in mid-March, late March. And here they are in June and they still have not had an opportunity to have a colonoscopy. Maybe they have colon cancer. We need to find out. So, yeah, I've expressed it at the highest levels. And I have not gotten a satisfactory answer back. And I'm very disappointed. And the people in the governor's office know that. And it's in their hands. It's in the hands of the New York State Department of Health. And I have called on, and I call on again, the New York State Department of Health and the governor's office, including Governor Andrew Cuomo, to reopen Buffalo General for electives, as well as our ambulatory care centers, so that we can address the other health issues that exist in our community, not just COVID-19. Thank you, everyone.
Hey,
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.